welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast. If you love tennis and want to improve your game, this podcast is for you. Whether it's technique, strategy, equipment, or the mental game, tennis professional Ian Westerman is here to make you a better player. And now, here's Ian.
Hi, and welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast, episode number 25. Well, thank you for joining me today. Whenever you happen to be listening to this podcast, I know that you could have chosen to do something else. I'm sure, just like everybody, you're plenty busy and you've got lots to do. So I really appreciate you taking the time to download the podcast and to listen to it. As always, it's my sincere hope that the podcast will give you information that you didn't know before and give you instruction that will truly help you become a better tennis player. Because you have downloaded the file and you're listening, I know that you have a passion for tennis and you want to improve. That's why I'm here. I want to help you become better at tennis, and by becoming better, enjoy the game of tennis more. That's what it's all about. I want you guys to get better and have more fun playing. Well, before we continue on with our topic this week, this past Monday we discussed serving and volleying, and we talked about the serve and how to serve properly for doubles and the serve and volley specifically. And we talked about moving forwards in general. And today we're going to continue with that theme. I'm going to talk about avoiding the lob once you've gotten up to the net and how to deal with the lob properly. And we'll talk about another topic having to do with volleys specifically as well. So we're going to continue on with the focus topic of the week of serving and volleying. Real quickly before we get started, guys, make sure that you turn the TV on this week and watch the U.S. Open. There's already been a lot of great action. There's incredible matches every day of the week. It really doesn't matter what day it is, or even to some extent who's playing. So everybody you see that's playing the Open is incredibly talented, and every match has the potential to really become just an incredibly competitive match. And so it's a great experience to watch, and you can learn a lot from watching the pros because they're the best in the world. And it's just an excellent thing to do. So let me encourage you to get on and watch the U.S. Open. Speaking of the Open, in the Essential Tennis forums, there is a forum specifically for the U.S. Open and all the other major tournaments as well. And drop by and participate with the discussions we have going on there. I think we already have five or six different discussions just about the U.S. Open already, and specific matches and specific players. And it's just a good place to go and talk about the tournament and the players that are in it. And oftentimes, a couple of us end up being in there during matches, and we'll talk back and forth about the matches as they're being played. So it's a good time. Lastly, let me remind you guys about the Essential Tennis contest that I have running right now. It is a photo contest, and the winner will be determined by whoever has the most creative and entertaining photo of him or herself listening to the podcast. I just announced the contest starting this past Monday, which was the 25th, and so far we only have two photos in there. I was a little bit surprised that we didn't get several participants right away. I posted a picture of myself up there on, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, and John also has posted a photo of himself listening to the podcast. His is definitely a lot more creative than mine is, and it's actually a pretty funny photo. John, I enjoyed your photo quite a bit, and you're definitely the front runner right now, although I haven't given you a whole lot of competition, I'm afraid. I just wanted to get the ball rolling. So anyway, head on over there and participate. It's just a little fun thing to do. And get your photo up there, create a photo of yourself listening to the podcast. And if you win, you get a free copy of Vic Braden's Mental Tennis, as well as a free set of Wilson Reaction Premium Synthetic Gut. So head on over and enter. I hope you win.
And now it's time for the Essential Tennis Focus topic of the week.
All right, let's continue our talk on the serve and volley in doubles specifically. We talked about this a bunch on Monday, and we're going to continue it here because there was more I wanted to say about it before we move on to other things. First of all, if moving into the net is something you worry about in general, well, don't worry about it. Don't feel badly, first of all, if you have some anxiety about coming to the net. A very large percentage of tennis players don't feel comfortable moving close to the net. And by close, I mean inside the service line, about halfway up to the service line, or even, halfway up to the net from the service line, or even closer is close. That's where the action is at, and that's where you're really going to be able to put the ball away against your opponents in doubles and truly pressure them. And a lot of people have anxiety about doing that because they're worried about the lob. And we're going to talk about that for a little bit of time here. That's going to kind of be our focus topic for today inside the topic of serving and volleying. Now, Agnes was the player who really brought this up initially in the last podcast. She is from California. And keep in mind, everybody, she is a 4.5 player. She's a pretty advanced player, and even she has some issues about being confident and really doing this well and really doing a solid job with this. That's why she wrote in. So don't feel badly if you're not 100% confident doing this. A lot of players aren't. It's my goal to make you more confident, and we're going to go over some issues here that are going to help you out. First of all, you need to stop worrying about the lob so much. It's not as big of a play. It's not as dangerous as you think it is. In all reality, great lobs just aren't hit very often, period. It doesn't happen all that much at any level in tennis. It's very, very difficult to hit a high-quality lob, meaning a shot that really, truly actually travels over the person's opponent and inside the court without being touched. That would be a good lob. That would be a high-quality lob. That doesn't happen very often, even in doubles. In higher-level doubles, certainly it does, but you have to understand it takes really good touch to hit a winning lob. A winning lob in doubles doesn't happen too often. Now, you might say, well, sure, the better you are, the better the overheads are going to be, and so it's not going to be as good of a play. But trust me, even at a 2-5 or a 3-0 level, it's not so much that the lobs are good, it's more that the receiving players aren't very good at their overheads. And so the overhead is something you need to work on. We're going to get to that later. But first off, just understand, good lobs just don't occur very often. The club where I teach, myself and the other two full-time pros, we coach seven different ladies teams during the spring and during the fall. And trust me, this is an issue that is brought up so often. And all three of us are constantly trying to encourage our players to get more and more comfortable coming into the net. And we're continually hearing complaints and worries about the lob, about coming into the net and being lobbed. And oftentimes, we'll play practice points, we'll do drilling, where we have two-on-two, where two players start at the net to begin with, both players. There isn't even any transition. Both players immediately start at the net, and the other two players immediately back at the baseline. And we'll actually purposefully start off each point with a lob. We're going to tell the net players, all right, you're going to get lobbed every single point. And then we'll hit an easy ball to the baseline team and let them go ahead and lob away just for practice. And oftentimes, the three of us will kind of get together and say, all right, let's keep track of how many winning lobs are hit. We'll play all three courts in a game up to 10 or 11. And out of the some 50 points that get played, oftentimes we get about a half a dozen or so. We'll get four or six lobs that were hit well enough that they were actually winners. They were actually hit so well that it just ended the point. And that's with two players starting at the net automatically and an easy shot being hit to the baseline team. So just understand, a good lob is very hard to hit. When you move up to the net and you force your opponent to try it, you're forcing them to try a difficult shot. All right, now my next point is when your opponent starts to lob, when they start hitting the ball up into the air, you need to realize that's a good thing. It's not bad to be lobbed. You want to be lobbed. And if you don't want to be lobbed right now, we need to change that mentality. The lob is the slowest and highest and most defensive shot in tennis. And so if you don't want to be lobbed, there's something wrong. And it's very possible you need to work on your overhead. And again, we'll get to that in a little bit. But you need to change your mentality if you don't currently like coming to the net for fear of the lob. You need to change your thinking so that you want to be lobbed. It's the highest and slowest shot in tennis. And any time that your opponents are hitting up to you, that should be to your benefit. The more that they hit up, the more chance you have of attacking and hitting down at them. Now, again, as I discussed a couple of minutes ago, it is possible that they will hit a great lob. Don't get me wrong. They're going to win some points through lobbing you if you're constantly coming up to the net. It's going to happen once in a while. I'm not saying that this is a perfect strategy and you're going to win every single point as you come up to the net. That's not going to happen. So, yes, you will get beat sometimes. But what we're banking on is that through your volleys and your overheads, through attacking and being progressive and coming up to the net and pressuring, they're going to miss more shots and you're going to put away more shots combined than they're going to hit good lobs that actually finish the point. Most of the time, that's going to be the case. Now, different things that you can do to avoid getting beat by the lob specifically, as you move into the net in your doubles play, first of all, do not overcommit. And that means when you serve in volley, that does not mean that you hit your serve and you just start running as fast as you can straight up to the net. You need to take your time a little bit. It doesn't have to be all at once. And even more importantly than that, you shouldn't be going straight past the service line and all the way up with your nose up on the net immediately. If you go in too far initially, before kind of seeing how the point is going, before taking account of what's going on in the point and the type of shot that your opponent is receiving, then it's very possible you'll get caught. If you're very transparent about your strategy and you hit your serve and just run as fast as you can up to the net, expect to be lobbed. You don't want your strategy to be all or nothing, and you don't want to kind of put all your eggs in one basket, so to speak, and just book it up to the net with kind of reckless abandon to the rest of the court. I'm not saying whatsoever that I want you to serve and just bomb into the net and not worry about getting lobbed. Certainly, you should plan to be lobbed. I'm not saying that you just forget about the lob and run right underneath it as they hit it over you. That's not the case at all. So I don't want you to overcommit and overdo it. You should have a strategy of consistently moving forwards, but what you should not be doing is hitting your first shot and then just immediately going 100% all out at the net and not thinking whatsoever about what's going on behind you or what is open behind you. I want you to be conscious and aware of the entire court, but don't make it kind of a crippling anxiety or worry about the lob that keeps you hanging back instead of having an overall strategy of moving forwards. Hopefully that makes sense. Now, second tip on avoiding getting beat by the lob, don't move in closely after hitting your opponent's a weak shot. So if your second serve, and Agnes brought this up, she was saying that on her second serve, oftentimes she is not as successful. And overall, as an average across all of tennis, that would definitely be the case. It's harder to come in on your second serve because usually it's not quite as aggressive. So that means be careful. You need to be smart about how exactly you come forwards. If you know that the shot you just hit was not very strong, I'm not suggesting that you just run straight in, right into the face of danger, and put yourself in a difficult position. I want you to be smart about it. So if you hit a weak shot, I don't want you to run straight in past the service line and just kind of say, well, here I am, go ahead, do whatever you want, and give your opponents the chance of hitting an easy passing shot or an easy lob. I want you to be smart about it. If you hit a very weak shot, then move up maybe to around the service line and wait and see what's going to happen. I wouldn't move much past that if your opponents are getting set and a weak shot is coming to them. If you move in much past that, you're going to leave yourself vulnerable back behind you. So if they have just received a weak shot, I wouldn't move much farther in past the service line. If it's very weak, if you just hit them a shot that barely made it over the net and it's sitting up high and they're getting ready to hit an overhead, then at that point I would back up. I would suggest you move back to give yourself some more time. And so you need to be smart about it. There's different phases of tennis, even within an overall strategy of coming in. Depending on how easy or how difficult of a shot your opponents have just received, you're going to want to position yourself a little bit differently. Serving and volleying doesn't mean all or nothing. It's not red light, green light. You have to be smart, and you have to be a little wily, and you have to be aware of what's going on the court, both with you and with your opponents. My last tip here on how to not get beat by the lob so often is make sure that you're using your split step correctly. And this kind of is in the same thread as the first two. We need to be smart about how we move into the net. Using the split step correctly means that as you're moving forwards and as you advance your position towards the net and towards your opponents, you want to get yourself in a balanced and ready position as your opponents make contact with their next shot. So if you hit your serve and you start moving forwards towards the net, right as your opponent starts to swing towards his or her return of serve, you are actually going to take your feet, slow them down, and get in a ready position, either by taking a split step, which is basically putting your feet out wide, a little bit wider than shoulder width, and getting on the balls of your feet with your weight a little bit forwards and your hands in front of you. That's a good ready position. You want to actually drop your feet a little bit wide and drop down to a good low ready position. That's a split step. You don't necessarily need to stop your feet altogether. It's okay if, as your opponent is hitting, you take a couple of little shuffle steps and just get your body under control. The key here is balance. As your opponent makes contact with their return of serve, you want your body to be in balance and under control. That way, no matter what they do, whether they return down the middle, whether they return out wide or right to you, or whether they put up a lob and try to hit over you and your partner, you're going to be ready to move in any direction. This is probably the most common mistake people make when they serve and volley, is they serve and continue to run as their opponent hits their return of serve, and then they're not ready to move their body to get to the next shot. You need to have your body under control as they hit each and every shot so that you're prepared to go back and cover the back of the court if they do in fact lob you and it is in fact a good shot and it's actually going to go over you. A lot of times it's not going to make it over you and you're going to be able to hit an overhead. But even still, you want to be in as ready of a position as possible to move back for the ball when they do lob. So just a quick recap here. First of all, I don't want you to worry so much about the lob. A lot of lobs, in fact, most lobs, aren't that good. It's very difficult to hit a high-quality lob. Secondly, when your opponent hits a lob, you should be happy about that. You should want to have the ball hit up to you so that you can hit down your opponents. The lob is the highest and most defensive shot in tennis, and it should give you an opportunity to attack. Again, that doesn't mean that good lobs cannot be hit. Yes, your opponent could hit a winning lob and take the point from you, but understand that those are few and far between compared to the shots that you will be able to get to and be able to put away if you have a quality overhead. And then as far as not getting beat by the lob as much when it does occur, make sure you don't overcommit. Don't run in blindly without worrying about the ball going over you. You need to be aware of it. And you need to know where you are. And you need to know what kind of shot your opponent is receiving. If you've just hit them a great shot and they're going to have a hard time getting to it, you can move forwards more. If you've just given them a sitter and it's an easy shot, it's probably not a good idea to run all the way up to the net because you're going to leave court open behind you. And then lastly, make sure you use your split step correctly. And on the split step, guys, I wrote an article in the blog at EssentialTennis.com. It was probably a couple months ago now, but I wrote an article about how to use the split step correctly. There's a lot more I could talk about there, but I want to leave time for some other things as well. So go over to the Essential Tennis blog and read more on the split step if you don't know how to do that correctly right now.
The Essential Tennis Podcast is brought to you by
Bridgewater Medical Group. Is a multi-specialty medical group located in Bridgewater, New Jersey, and is your home for primary care, gastroenterology, sports medicine, and general internal medicine. They offer a broad array of on-site, state-of-the-art services to make your healthcare experience more pleasurable. Scheduled appointments are preferred, but physician assistants are available for walk-in care. For more information, call Bridgewater Medical Group at 908-722-0808.
For more information on sponsors of the Essential Tennis Podcast or to become a sponsor, visit www.essentialtennis.com.
Okay, let's finish up our serve and volley focus topic for this week in doubles specifically, and we're going to finish by talking about the overhead. We talked earlier in this podcast about why you shouldn't be worrying about the lob. We talked about how to position yourself and a little bit about strategy so that you don't get beat by it, or so that your opponents don't have as easy of a time beating you with the lob, as far as positioning yourself on the court and being smart about how you strategize as you come into the net. We talked about the split step. And now finally, if you don't want to get beat by the lob as often, you need to have a solid overhead. A good, confident overhead is so important in doubles. If you have a confident overhead that you can hit strongly with power and that you can place on either side of the court, it's a huge asset in doubles because people do like to try the lob, especially at lower to mid-level recreational play from a beginner up through, I'd say, about 4.0 or even 4.5. The lob really does get used quite a bit. Now, once again, it's very difficult and takes a lot of skill to hit a truly good lob. But that being said, a lot of players from beginner on through 3.5 or 4.0 don't really have a great overhead, and that's really why it gets used as often as it does. So I want you to have a strong overhead, an overhead that you can put an overhead away with ease, so that when you do see the ball go up into the air and it's high and it's slow, you have the confidence to move your feet quickly, get underneath the ball, and put the ball away. It's invaluable in doubles. You should make your opponents pay for even thinking about putting the ball up in the air high and slow. That should be a put-away shot. Now, again, we have to give some respect to the lob. There are going to be good lobs, and so on a better lob, you're not going to be able to always get back in time and be in a perfect position to try to put it away. And so there's going to be times where you have to get back, and you still might take it out of the air. However, it wouldn't be prudent to go for an outright winner. And so you'll still take it as an overhead, but not necessarily super aggressively and put it away. But I want you to have the confidence to go back there and get it and take it out of the air consistently. By letting it bounce, you're giving your opponents time to recover. They put a lob up assumedly because you hit a great shot to them and you were pressuring them. You pressured them into hitting up a high defensive shot. And by letting it bounce, you're giving them exactly what they want, time to recover from your good shot and get comfortable again. And if they're smart, move into the net and take over, and now the pressure is back on you. So it's important to be able to take the ball out of the air whenever possible when that lob goes up and take it as an overhead and hopefully be confident. So we're going to talk about technique on the overhead, and we're going to talk about footwork. Two of the most important things that make up your overhead. As far as technique goes on the overhead, you're going to use basically the same swing that you would on your service motion. And that would be taking your core and turning to the side. You want to make sure that you're using the big parts of your body predominantly to power and strengthen the shot. So you're going to use your core to turn to the side initially, and then to rotate back forwards again. And that should be where most of your strength and power comes from. You want to make sure that you're using a continental grip so that you can pronate correctly and use your shoulder correctly and to accelerate the racket. You want to make sure that you are pronating. A common mistake that kind of lower level recreational players make, beginner on up through like 3.0 or so, is that they'll actually stay facing the net and they'll keep like a forehand ground stroke grip, which would be an Eastern grip, kind of a frying pan grip with their hand right out in front of them, and they'll just push the ball back with their racket face facing their target the entire time. And so they're not turning their core and they're not pronating with their arm and their shoulder, and you will never have a strong overhead using that kind of technique. It's just not possible. You're using the smaller parts of your body, namely your forearm and your hand, and you're just not going to be able to get much power out of that ever. So it's very important that you get turned to the side and that you have a continental grip so that you can make use of your shoulder to further accelerate the racket as your core rotates forwards. Next up, you need to make sure you have a high contact point. It's important, just like on the serve, that when you make contact, you're fully extended, your arm and your shoulder. You should be making contact at a full reach, as high as you can reach with your arm and your hand and your racket. And you should be extended as you make contact. If you let the ball drop any lower than that, not only is it as strong of a swing, you don't have as much potential to accelerate anyway, because when your arm gets scrunched up, you're just not as strong. You're not able to accelerate the racket as much. But typically what will happen there is the face will open up, and all you can do then is just push the ball back into play. You don't have the angle of attack to actually hit down at your opponent's side of the court. So it's important that you make contact nice and high. Lastly, on technique, it's important that when the overhead goes up, you take your racket back immediately. And that leads us into footwork. Right as the lob goes up in the air, your right foot and your right hand should immediately drop back together. That's important to get the racket prepared so that in case you get rushed a little more than you thought you were going to, your racket is ready to go up and swing. And your right foot dropping back to turn your core is important for two reasons. First of all, it sets us up for good footwork. You want to make sure that when you go back for an overhead that's hit a little bit more deeply than what your position is, it's important that you shuffle back to where the ball is landing. You do not want to backpedal. And this is something I see all the time with club level players. Do not backpedal to move back for an overhead. First of all, it's dangerous. If you trip and fall straight back, you're going to bust your head on the court. And I've personally witnessed that happen before, as a lot of tennis players have. So it's dangerous, first of all. Second of all, it's slow. It's just a crappy way to move. Your body's just not made to move that way. It's not very efficient, and you're not going to be very quick backpedaling. And secondly, your core doesn't get turned. You do not rotate your body back. And so once you do get underneath the ball, you're going to be stuck in an open stance facing the net, and you won't be able to use your body to swing at the ball. So it's very important that as soon as the ball goes up, you take your right hand back immediately with your racket so that you're prepared to swing at the ball whenever is necessary. And it's important that your right foot, and by the way, I'm obviously assuming that I'm speaking to a righty player, if you're left-handed, your left hand and your left foot will immediately go back to turn your core and to prepare your racket. And again, once you've done that, you will shuffle back, or you can also sidestep as well and cross your feet if you can move efficiently that way. Typically, I'll take two or three crossover steps and then shuffle for the last couple to get underneath the ball quickly. Lastly, on footwork and positioning, You want to make sure you position yourself so that you could catch the ball in your opposite hand. Right away, when the ball goes up into the air, I always recommend that people go to a trophy pose, which is a continental grip with your dominant hand and shoulder back so that you're at 90 degrees to the net. And you want your opposite hand to be up in the air and pointing up towards the ball. This isn't just to look cool. There's reasons for doing this. First of all, it does a good job of rotating your body. It kind of helps promote a good rotation with your core. Secondly, when you put your hand up towards the ball, it helps track the ball and it helps you position your body. So me being left-handed, when I take my left hand and my left foot back, I put my foot, I put my right hand, my opposite hand, up in the air immediately, and then I start to move my feet right away to position myself so that my right hand is underneath the falling ball. If I can position myself so that the ball would fall into my stretched out right hand, that puts me in the best possible position to then rotate my body forwards and reach up and make contact in that same spot with my racket face right up above where my right hand was a second ago. So my body rotates forwards, I swing upwards towards the ball with my racket, and my racket basically replaces where my right hand was, helping me position my body a couple of seconds back. So it's a good way to rotate your body, and it's also a good way to kind of give yourself a reference point for positioning yourself underneath the ball so that you can make a comfortable swing. Okay, I hope you guys have enjoyed this little kind of mini series on doubles and approaching the net. We've covered a lot of territory in the last two podcasts. We've talked about the serve and how to serve in doubles to set yourself up. We've talked about approaching the net, the actual moving forwards part. We've talked about how to cover the lob, both by positioning yourself effectively, moving yourself strategically, having to do with what's going on in the points. And we've talked about how to move back for the lob if it is hit well and you're caught in a bad spot. We've talked about footwork and technique of the actual overhead once you do get lobbed and you're caught up there at the net. I went over a lot of that stuff relatively quickly, and I just kind of tried to highlight the most important points for each subject that I covered. I really could go into a lot more detail on most of these things, and it's a subject I really enjoy. I like doubles a great deal, so this is something I like to talk about. And I hope it's been helpful to your guys' doubles games, and you've gotten some information out of it that maybe you didn't know before. All right, well, that does it for this week. Thanks so much for joining me again, guys. I really appreciate all the support that I've gotten, both through email and from downloads of the podcast. Hopefully you enjoyed podcast episode number 25 for the Essential Tennis Podcast. Thank you for joining me today. And go over to the forums and participate. Talk about the U.S. Open and different matches and players. Post up a photo of yourself listening to the Essential Tennis Podcast. And maybe you could be a winner of a new tennis book and tennis strings. All right, that's it for this week. I will talk to you guys again on Monday. I hope you all have a great week. Get out there and play some tennis. And make sure you watch some of the U.S. Open. Take care, everybody, and good luck with your tennis.